G'day, we hope you're enjoying our podcast. Producing a podcast is costly, both time and money. If you'd like to show your support and offer a one-off payment, even the price of a coffee or a beer, that'd be greatly appreciated and would go a long way to support us. If you'd like to leave a donation, head to the show notes of this episode and click on the Acast supporter link. Be sure to leave your message of support too. Thanks again.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The thoughts and opinions shared in this podcast are just that. It's up to the listener to decide what is true and what is not true. This podcast contains coarse language, references to violence, sexual abuse, and murder, and may not be suitable for everyone. Discretion is advised. G'day, and this is Who Killed Leanne Holland, a bonus episode with Graham Crowley, Graham Stafford, and myself, Jamie Potts. As you know, Graham Crowley has been travelling Queensland with his wife, and they have stopped at a local caravan park on the Sunshine Coast. So Graham Stafford and I thought it was a good opportunity to get together and discuss the podcast and answer a few questions and just shoot the breeze. So welcome Graham Stafford and welcome Graham Crowley. And it was at this point that my mic dropped out, or I accidentally switched it off. Nailed it. So what you don't hear is me asking both Grahams how they've been and describing where we are. We are also joined by Sue, Graham Crowley's wife, and Jackie, Graham Stafford's partner. There is a bit of background noise, well, I'll call it ambient noise, as we are at a caravan park that's very close to the beach. Oh, and it's the 24th of November, 2020. I then asked Graham Stafford how the public have responded to him in relation to the podcast.
Well, overwhelmingly, I think the podcast was received pretty well. You know, it's certainly received a lot of positive response as far as the reviews and everything else is concerned. Sure, you still get occasional trolls and whatnot, you know, that's par for the course, I guess. So, Jack and myself were only talking the other day saying that some of the stuff in that podcast we didn't know. It's like it's a learning curve. for the listening public, I guess it would have been very interesting to hear a lot of the stuff that, you know, doesn't get mentioned or hasn't been mentioned before.
I also asked Graham if it's hard to listen to a podcast that centres around him and his movements.
It is, yeah. I don't enjoy, and I think I've probably said this a number of times before, but I don't enjoy the limelight sort of thing. I'm not somebody that puts myself out there. I enjoy being the life of the party sometimes, but as far as serious, obviously, serious things like this, I would rather just sort of, I'd like to think it would just get sorted out without too much hoo-ha, you know.
Okay, this is the last time I will chime in. After this, I switch my microphone back on. I hand over to Graham Crowley and he talks about an email he received.
You may recall I received a very interesting email from an ex-New South Wales police officer, retired, long service history, including 10 years as a prosecutor. He queried, or in fact disputed, the material that we put forward in Chapter 15, where we had experts who said that under the Act, under the 1958 Act, there was no right of appeal, and that once the Attorney General concluded that there was not going to be an inquest, there was no right of appeal. He disputes that, and he says that, in fact, under the 2003 Coroner's Act, there is a right of appeal to the district court, which is exciting news. The only problem is you have to lodge an appeal within 14 days of receiving the rejection notice, and it's been like 2 years since the Attorney General wrote to Graham Stafford. So I'm proposing that Graham put in another application for a coronial inquest, and if that is rejected within 14 days, bang, we go up to the district court and appeal it. Of course, that's a New South Wales police officer's opinion or his interpretation of the both acts, the 1958 Act and the 2003 Act. And Joe Crowley is yet to review both acts and give his opinion as to whether there is in fact an appeal process. But it's still pretty interesting news and exciting, really.
And how many signatures did we get on the petition?
Fucked if I know.
Okay, cool.
I'll keep that one in.
Yeah.
All right.
It was 6,500, I think, the last time I looked.
6,500.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you said
7.
It's coming up to 7,000.
Yeah, I haven't looked in a few weeks. Yeah. Yeah, so we've had quite a few downloads, nearly 500, well, over 500,000. So, yeah, it'd be good if everybody who listened could sign that petition. That would go a long way.
That would make a big difference.
So, Graham, let's get down to some questions. So I put out on the last chapter, I said, does anyone want to ask Graham Stafford some questions? Anything at all? Surprisingly, we didn't get many questions. I thought we would have got heaps. I thought we would have got inundated with them, but we didn't really. But Graham, you've got one here. Graham Crowley.
This person wonders or wants to know how you feel about never having been pardoned. Is it important to you? And what difference would it make if you were pardoned?
I have always said that I want to pursue this to the nth degree, because the bottom line is I didn't kill Leanne. So at the very least, yes, a pardon should be given. Obviously, we're all getting older now, and it's, you know, it wears you down. And, you know, we've got to take stock and sort of be thankful for what you do have. But at the end of the day, what's still nagging in the back of one's mind is, this is wrong. You know, I'm basically expected to just get on with it, being in legal limbo, you know, and I think that's wrong. You know, there shouldn't be this situation where you're either neither sort of guilty or innocent, sort of in between.
Is there a day where you don't think about this? Or do you think about this case and your predicament every day?
I wouldn't say every day. I'm too busy at work to probably. But I guess, maybe that's wrong. I mean, I know that I come home and I might sort of go on the phone sort of thing a little too often and get into trouble for that, because I'm just sort of, you know, scrolling through. And, you know, I mean, we've got the Facebook group that's been around for 8 years now, and I'm sort of struggling to come up with things new for people to sort of, you know, I mean, like you say, maybe that's why a lot of people haven't asked questions, is because they've asked them on the group, or I don't know.
I had a question for you. What was it like being in court, hearing all the evidence or hearing the prosecutor and hearing witnesses? What was it like when they're talking about you and you flat out deny the allegations? What is that like, being that person sitting there?
Well, frustrating is probably not the right word for it. I mean, yes, it's frustrating, but it's very hard to sort of maintain a level of composure when you've sort of got to abide by the rules of how a court sort of is supposed to, you know, like how it's supposed to work. I think I've mentioned to you before about certain things, like the prosecutor at one point was talking about the cigarette burns, and then when the judge said, well, the defendant doesn't smoke, he then suggested, oh, maybe he used the cigarette lighter out of the car. And it's like, surely that's going to be a totally different thing. You know? And I mean, it was just, it was very hard to sort of like not yell at the bloke and sort of say, wake up to yourself, you moron. You know, I mean, that's just pathetic. But that is how the court ran. I mean, they were allowed to just make things up as they went along, you know.
Was there a time in prison where you resorted to the fact that you may never get out? Or did you think that your chances are done, or your appeals? And
yeah, absolutely. After the 97 appeal, I thought that was it. You know, I just sort of, I guess, you know, for the sake of the family sort of thing, I just sort of had to sort of like basically accept that this was it. I mean, they had no idea what the process was, and they probably thought, oh, well, you know, if worse comes to worse, he's going to have to put in for parole after 13 years. But I had a bit more of an idea how it worked, and I knew that, you know, that wasn't going to be the case.
No.
I mean, they were just going to keep me there, and, you know, that would be it. I would just rot.
And 13 years is a long time regardless.
Anyway, well, yeah, it is. But I knew from, you know, being inside that there were lifers that were just never getting out.
No.
Ever.
And so you did 15 years. I heard someone once describe that a day was like a week, and, you know, a week was like a month, and, you know, a go on and so on and so on. Did the days just take forever to go by while you're in jail, or do they keep you pretty busy, or, you know, how does
it
work?
Well, it depended on your mindset, Jamie. I mean, I kept myself busy. You know, I found myself, you know, like I got a pretty cool job in the library where I was sort of like working all day, and then I'd come back and, you know, sort of keep my mind occupied, either watching TV or doing crosswords and stuff like that. You know, it was, and the same during the day, you'd have the opportunity to do computer courses and other courses like that. So it was just a matter of keeping your mind occupied. You know, otherwise, you would go stir crazy.
It's a long time.
It is. And it, you know, it's scary to think back on how long I was in there, and how much time I'd lost.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, Jackie, you've known Graham for a lot of years. Have you noticed a change in him since he first, you know, got convicted and went to jail, and the person that he is now? Has this changed him?
Well, it's hard to answer that, because when I knew him way back before he was convicted, we went in a relationship. Mm. So he was just a friend. Whereas now we're a couple. Mm. So I know him in a different way, if that makes sense. So it's hard to compare him to then to now, because I didn't know him that well then. I only saw him on a Friday night maybe for drinks and things like that, whereas now I see him every day. So I can only really comment on how he is now.
What was going through your mind when you heard that Graham was being charged?
horrified. We were all horrified. Everyone who knew Graham knew there was no possible way that he was guilty.
Mm.
And there was nothing we could do about it. They just took him and that was it. We never saw him again.
So when did you two reconvene?
I actually did go to the prison and see him, but I had a very young family, so I didn't go. I only went once. When he was actually released, I came up here on a holiday, and he came with his parents, and they spent the evening with us. But it was only 9.5 years we've been together as a couple now, that we've been together, obviously, on a daily basis.
Have you been the subject of any abuse from trolls, so to speak?
Yeah. And Graham gets very angry.
What kind of things?
They sort of say, I'm stupid for being with him. Don't I know he's a killer? Accusing me of things, which is ludicrous. It's very hurtful, but it's very personal for Graham because he accepts that he should get the flak and gets really angry if it's targeted at me.
And the funny thing is, this is all behind a keyboard, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. They've got no proper names and they've got no guts to come and face us and tell us to our faces. It's all done on a keyboard or, you know, messenger.
So what was the podcast experience? I mean, you guys have been through it before with Murder Uncovered and stuff, but what was the podcast experience like for you, Jackie?
It's still very hard to listen to the person you love being described as a murderer and a killer and people trying to say that it was him. But on the other hand, there was a lot in the podcast that proved to us that it wasn't him. Like, we know it wasn't him, but proved to us in black and white, so to speak, that other people could then see there was evidence to prove it wasn't him. You sort of wonder, especially with the Murder Uncover debacle, where they tried to paint him out as a really nasty, bad person. It was nobody else. It was him. And anyone who watched that show, I just feel sick when I see Michael Usher now. And those people who did the show all hid away and won't answer questions. You know, if they were true to and believed what they were doing, why are they not answerable when we ask questions? They just block us.
On Facebook?
On everything. Yeah. On Twitter, everything.
Yeah.
They won't answer any questions. Yeah. And yet they reckon they did their research. Well, if they did their research, they would come up with what you guys came up with.
So another question that we got asked, Graham Crowley and I got asked on the podcast, which we answered, but we didn't ask you, was, have you been compensated by the Queensland Police? And we answered it for you. We said, no, you haven't. What's your thoughts on that? Obviously, you can't be compensated for your time. Like, you can't get your time back. But do you feel like you should be given some financial support for your 15 years that you spent in prison?
Absolutely. I you know, think it's a given that I should be compensated for what's considered a wrongful conviction.
But the reason you haven't is because they haven't, like, pardoned you, so to speak. They've just quashed the conviction.
Yes,
but
that's right. They sort of stuck me in the little, in the middle sort of thing. And
you're not innocent, you're not guilty.
Exactly, yeah. So they can sort of get away with just leaving it as that and hoping that time will, you know, eventually enough people will walk away from it and give up on it sort of thing. And
like put it in the too hard basket, like I can't be bothered doing that, so.
Yeah.
I just meant to also say about that ex-New South Wales prosecutor, he made an interesting comment. He, after listening to the podcast, he felt that the evidence implicated two of the three suspects that we nominated, which I thought was pretty compelling. given his background as well, with some 40 years in the police and 10 as a prosecutor. He thought paedophile Pete should be looked at more closely, and Sean McFedrin.
Graham, is there any questions that you were expecting people to ask when we put that feeler out saying, you know, ask Graham Stafford a question?
Not any specific questions, I guess, but I did sort of think that maybe people might sort of been a little more inquisitive as far as, you know, like one of the things that most people don't seem to realise is that, you know, there was no blood on any of my clothing, and they took all my clothing.
Yeah,
you know, I had no clothing. This is one of the things that annoys me about the other podcast is they suggested that we had how was it worded? Basically, that we were allowed to come and go through the house, which was the reason why. Some of the forensics wasn't up to standard or whatever. And what they don't realise is that as of Wednesday, I think it was, when I gave them permission to check my car out, they basically took all the clothing, all the bedding, and from that point on, we couldn't stay in the house. So I actually went and stayed with Arthur, Jackie's dad, and I had one set of clothing. That was it. That's why Mum and Dad had to come down from the coast with a few extra sets of clothes.
So then to listen to the prosecutor saying that the house was awash with blood and there was blood everywhere and the blood on the steering wheel and blood, you know, all through the house, just must have been so frustrating.
It was. Yeah, I mean, the number of times I sort of worked on that car and cut myself, I mean, and yet throughout the whole thing they never found any blood of mine, but they found blood that couldn't be grouped. That was curious, you know. I mean, why can it not be grouped, you know? Because I know that the blood on the gear knob would have been mine. I remember that actually taking place. I'd actually broken the... it's a funny story. I broke the clutch cable going to shops on the Thursday night, and Melissa was in the car with me. And I actually had to drive back without a clutch cable and obviously missed a gear. And the fiberglass, I think I had a Redback Spider gear knob.
Yeah.
And it cracked and cut my hand. So I actually bled on the gear knob. And I'm thinking, well, yes, there probably is blood on the gear knob, but it's mine. You know? And,
but yeah, the Sangor test reacts to many chemicals, like we heard from Ted Jews.
Mm-hmm.
There's faults with that.
I also received, Jamie, you may recall, an email from someone. They asked the question, was it possible that paedophile Pete was the father of Leanne Holland? And that just sat me back in my seat. That was something I'd never, ever considered. And you hadn't either when I talked to you about it. And I got to thinking about his other daughters, the ones that he committed incest on. And one of those daughters made the comment, and I'm pretty sure it was played in the it was played in the podcast, that she said her and Leanne were almost identical, like twins, in facial features and hair colouring and stuff like that. And I went, oh, maybe there is something in that. But who knows? It actually explains a lot of things when you think about it in depth. Pedophile Pete, according to his daughter, had a lot of anger towards Leanne. He wouldn't let his children play with Leanne or associate with Leanne. And that is all consistent with someone who is angry with their daughter and so, yeah.
And her mother was never spoken to, right?
As far as I know, the police interviewed the mother after Leanne's death, but need I say we haven't read the review. So I can't comment as to whether they covered the issue of paternity.
I need another beer, I think.
That just blew me away, that one. I was just like, yeah. Could they not test
it? Yeah, no,
we
got the email. Pedo Pete being
father. I've never heard. Well, wouldn't they have done like DNA? No.
You need to be able to find a link between Pedo Pete and the mum.
I know they traced Sandra down and got a blood test off her because she was the mother.
Oh, okay.
Down in New South Wales.
Yeah. So they got a blood test from
her. Yeah, but that doesn't say who the father was.
No.
So did Leanne look like Craig or Melissa?
But apparently she looked like, but she did look like pedophile Pete's daughter.
Yeah, I mean, even though we concluded the podcast, we still get flooded with emails just from, they're always anonymous, you know. People, mostly trolls, but sometimes they're good stuff. But that one was very interesting, I thought.
Mm.
Something got. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it before.
Where
but,
did it come from? Yeah.
But all right, was there anything else we should discuss on record or?
No, I think that about covers it.
Hmm. Did you have anything did you want to say anything to the people or to the public?
Well, I guess basically just
thank you
for listening to the podcast and taking on board stuff that, obviously hasn't been brought up before. And thank you for signing the petition and hopefully, a lot of other people will sign it too.
Yeah, we still want a resolution here. We, the coroner to agree to, an inquest and, for the right person to be brought to justice and for you
Absolutely.
To get you to get your name cleared so you can get that breath of fresh air knowing that you have your name cleared.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to repay the 15 years, but...
No.
It'll go a long way. And, Graham Crowley and I would like to thank you for being, available and willing to talk to us and happy to discuss these hard matters. So thanks for participating in the podcast. And also thank you, Jackie, for being accommodating and willing and supportive of Graham during this. And thank you, Graham Crowley, because, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have all the legwork done for Graham Stafford's conviction being quashed. So
absolutely. Yeah.
I know a lot of people have been emailing me or Facebook messaging me just saying, gee, that Graham Crowley's like a dog with a bone, just doesn't give up.
And behind every Graham is a better woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
If you didn't catch that was his wife Sue in the background. So I'll let Graham Crowley answer that. But yeah, you've got a lot of fans, mate.
Choose your words wisely.
thanks, Jamie. Yes, Susan said, behind every great man is a great woman. And can't argue with that. Graham, yes, mate, we're not finished here. I don't believe we'll be finished until we get an inquest. So to those QPS out there or ex-QPS who are listening, we are not finished.
Because we haven't read the report. All right, thanks for listening to the bonus episode. And anything else before we sign off?
No, I think we've covered everything.
Cool. Well, I think it's time. I think it's time for happy hour.
I think it's time.
Thanks for listening. So thanks for listening. I hope 2021 is off to a great start for you. Take care and stay subscribed to this podcast because we will update it if something is worth updating. Cheers.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.